for joining me for What is Branding? Why do I need it? How can it help my business? The purpose of this podcast is to provide you with a better understanding of branding, why you need branding for your business, and how branding can help your business. Let's jump right in. I'm sure everyone has heard of the word brand and probably have spoken the word yourself. I'm sure we all have certain brands we buy or experience. Think of one of your favorite brands. I'll start with this popular one, Coke. No other cola brand will do. There is no substitution. I have witnessed people change their beverage order to water if the restaurant doesn't serve Coke. I also know people that will not go to a restaurant if they don't serve Coke products. Wow, that's brand loyalty. You can establish this type of brand loyalty for your product or service too. So, what is branding? Branding is not a logo. However, it is difficult to establish a brand without one. Actually, a logo is called a brand identifier, and it is the heart and soul of a brand. Branding is about making the emotional connection. Branding is also the experience of using the product or service. Building a brand is similar to building a friendship. Consumers see a brand as an important part of a product, and branding can add value to a product. Customers attach meaning to brands and develop brand relationships. For example, Tide laundry detergent, created by Procter & Gamble in 1943 and introduced to consumers in 1946. This brand is 68 years old and still going strong. Research has shown that Tide has established a relationship with its consumers. Tide has become a generational brand. Many Tide users state the reason they use Tide is because, one, my mom used it and her mother used it. Two, I can trust Tide to get the grass stains out of my son's pants just like my mother used Tide to get the mud stains out of my dresses when I was his age. And the third reason, my mother took pride with keeping us clean and happy. When I use Tide, I feel like I'm keeping my family clean and happy. Procter & Gamble has definitely established a relationship with Tide users, and this relationship is one that is passed down through generations. Now, if you're like me, you may be looking for a more formal definition of what branding is. So, the Entrepreneur's Small Business Dictionary defines branding as, your brand is your promise to your customer. It tells them what they can expect from your products, services, and it differentiates your offering from that of your competitors. Your brand is derived from who you are, who you want to be, and who people perceive you to be. Now, there's a category of brands that every brand is striving to become, and that's a passion brand. Passion brands, defined by Kate Newland, the author of the book Passion Brands, as a brand you feel so strongly about that when you recommend it to a friend and the friend doesn't love it the way you do, there's a question mark over the friendship, not the brand. Passion brands inspire an emotional attachment, deliver on promises, and satisfy needs. Newland states, we can have a relationship with them because they seem to be alive. Whether it's how they seem to get smarter as we use them, or how using them can create a sense of instant community with others. Here is a short list of passion brands. Apple, Target, Sony, Whole Foods, Kraft, BMW, Coca-Cola, Absolut Vodka, Red Bull, and IKEA. Now, some of those on that short list are my passion brands as well, but I'll share one of my other ones with you, and that's Starbucks. I became aware of Starbucks through an article I read in the later 1990s. Ironically, it was a business article, This article described the success of the Seattle-based coffee chain and how this success was achieved without traditional advertising. Starbucks ran their first TV ad in 2007 and their first print ad in 2009. So, like I said, I was reading this article in the late 1990s. At the time, I lived in a location that did not have a Starbucks. I was impressed with what I read and remembered the company. When I returned to Michigan in 2000, I was excited to discover a Starbucks across from the Michigan State University campus. Excited and curious, I decided to visit. I entered the coffee shop and discovered a unique atmosphere. There was an element of sophistication, creativity, and friendliness. I ordered a grande brewed coffee. As I removed the lid to add cream, an aroma of bold roasted coffee awakened my senses. I tasted my cup of Starbucks. It was as good as it smelled. A strong, bold flavor. I have always enjoyed a strong cup of coffee. I have always considered coffee served in American restaurants as weak in flavor. Prior to discovering Starbucks, my homebrew coffee always contained a few extra scoops. I was told by many I was a European coffee drinker because the coffee is much stronger than what's served in the U.S. I immediately agreed and accepted my coffee personality. Over time, Starbucks evolved from a place to get a cup of coffee the way I like it, to getting a crafted drink as a reward, a place to meet friends, or an experience, or even a second office. As I became more acquainted with Starbucks, I noticed the array of travel mugs. Not a bad idea. As a PhD student, coffee and caffeine is an important food group. This travel mug was sturdy, well-designed, and the handle open to clip on a bag. Wow, perfect. As time went on, eventually I opened my kitchen cupboard and discovered every travel mug and coffee mug that's not part of my set of dishes had either the name Starbucks or the brand identifier on it. One day, shopping for groceries, I noticed the same brand identifier on a bag of coffee down the coffee aisle. What? I'm able to brew at home? The rest, as they say, is history. Now, this timetable of me being branded and going through all of this occurred in about 3 years. So a good, strong, passion branding process friendship is going to take time. So I encourage you, become a brand your customers can't live without. Now, what are some of your passion brands? Study those brands and discover what can you emulate and adopt for your brand and your branding efforts. Okay, now let's get down to the real reason you're listening here. First part, branding. Why do I need it? I have three reasons here for you. First reason, why do you need branding? As a startup, no one knows you, so branding gives credibility to your business, product, or service. For small businesses, it helps you stand out and compete. You must be seen to be considered by consumers. Branding will help differentiate your business, product, or service from your competitors. Consumers buy from a brand they know and trust. Number two, the second reason why you need branding. Branding will help you develop your promise to your customers. It will keep you consistent with all you say and do. Branding provides a guideline and record of how you present your business, product, or service. The third reason why you need branding, you can't afford not to brand. I'm reminded of the old saying, it takes money to make money. Now, it doesn't have to be a large sum of money. Good branding can be done with items from your favorite office supply store and favorite arts and crafts store with as little as $30. Remember, branding is about establishing relationships with your customers. I like to think of branding as the friendship process. Are you going to make friends if you don't talk to people? Are you going to make friends if no one sees you? Are you going to make friends if no one understands what you are about or what you stand for? So, branding, why do you need it? One, gives credibility to your business. Two, will help you develop your promise to your customers. And three, you just have to do it. Now the second part, the second overarching question, branding, how can it help my business? First, branding helps buyers identify products, services that might benefit them. This can equate an increase in sales, therefore an increase in revenue. Branding can help nonprofits as well. Nonprofits are competing with everything. You need branding to encourage charitable giving. If your business is a nonprofit, research these organizations and their branding efforts. United Way, Girl Scouts, Red Cross, Habitat for Humanity, Make-A-Wish Foundation, and VH1 Save the Music. The second way branding can help your business. Branding can communicate the quality and consistency of your product or service. Repeat customers know they will get the same features, benefits, and quality every time they purchase. A good brand is dependable. Think about how upset you are when a good, dependable friend lets you down. That's why customers revolt when their favorite brand lets them down. Remember New Coke? If not, Google it. Well, okay, here's a recap. Coca-Cola was beginning to feel competition from the colder newcomer, Pepsi. In response to this, Coca-Cola decided to develop a new Coke with a smoother yet rounder, bolder taste. New Coke debuted April 1985. Actually, taste tests showed New Coke had a taste similar to Pepsi. Coke fans revolted. Customers compared the switch to New Coke to desecrating the American flag. New Coke was pulled from store shelves in July that same year, 1985, and Coke Classic was born. Coca-Cola president Donald R. Keough said, "We did not understand the deep emotions of so many of our customers for Coca-Cola." Your brand promise can make your business and product and service successful. However, if you're inconsistent or communicate messages that are uncharacteristic, your customers or friends may perceive you as unstable, unreliable, can't be trusted. Customers will not buy from brands that they don't trust or ones that change drastically. The third reason, branding, especially with a brand identifier, brand mark, or a logo, provide legal protection for collateral. Collateral are unique product features or systems that your product or service has. So branding with a brand identifier or brand mark provide legal protection that might be copied by your competitors. And the fourth reason on how branding can help your business. Presentation is the key to creating a lasting impression regarding your brand. As I mentioned before, branding gives credibility. When you make a sale, you need to present your product or service with your brand identifier, product service name, contact information, care instructions, and ingredients, if applicable, to your customer the same way every time. Consistency is a must. Now, don't forget to add excellence to that. You will change your message and credibility if your presentation is less than stellar. It only takes one time and your customer will doubt your credibility and quality. For example, if you are creating your product presentation or packaging with items from your personal printer, make sure you have enough ink to complete it. Now, there is nothing wrong with using your personal printer or creating your presentation, your packaging yourself. I do that a lot. As a matter of fact, that's a very smart technique because it prevents from over-purchasing these products, packaging for you. You can control the amount that you produce and use. Also, it's more cost effective if you do things yourself because you can make changes on a fly. So, do not use items on your presentation or packaging that were printed with low ink cartridges. Meaning, if there are parts of your logo missing, if there's streaks in it, or if the color is fading, that is less than stellar presentation. It says something negative about your brand. So do not use items on your presentation packaging that were printed with low ink cartridges. This is like wearing dirty clothes. Who wants to buy the ripped dress, the torn magazine, or crushed box of cookies? I know I don't. Everything associated with your brand sends a message. Make sure it's the correct message. Now, I've given you reasons for what is branding, why do I need it, how can it help my business. Now, the next portion of this is how do I start branding? Well, I've given you a little bit of homework here and a few exercises that will hopefully get your way to doing just that. So, how do I start branding? First thing, create a brand promise statement. This will be your measuring stick for everything you do. Before you pull the trigger on any communication whatsoever, make sure it lines up with your brand promise. Now, here's a couple of tips. Make your brand promise statement short. Your brand promise statement should tell customers what they will receive as a result of using your product or service. So, as you're starting to develop this brand promise statement, here's a few questions that you need to have the answers to before you start. There is no shortcut here. This is going to take some time. You may not be able to complete this in 30 minutes or one day. It may take you a few days or even a few weeks to get this done. So before you start, answer these questions. The first question, why did I start this business or product or service? Who are my competitors? Now, you may think you know who they are, but you may have to actually go into a retail environment and see exactly what other products, services are out there that compete or do the same thing that you do. Next question, how is my product or service different from those of my competitors? What does my product or service do well? Why should consumers buy my product or service over someone else? And the last question you need the answer to before you get started, am I solving a problem for the consumer? Okay, so you have to have these questions answered because it will make you create a brand promise statement that will be fact and not fiction. Now, here are a few brand promise examples. I was not going to give you an assignment without giving you some scenarios, some best case scenarios. So here's a few brand promise examples. I'm sure some of you may remember these. Good to the last drop. Maxwell House Coffee. The world's most refreshing beer, Coors Light. Melts in your mouth, not in your hand, M&M Candies. Now, I actually have an experience with M&M's. Their brand promise is true. Several years ago, we went to an amusement park, and part of our traveling snacks included some M&Ms. They were in a bowl, plastic bowl with a lid. We were munching on them. We get to the amusement park, and we're gone all day. The M&Ms were left in the hot car in the container with the lid. We get back to the car after a day of fun, decided to munch on some stuff, open up the M&Ms. Oh no, they're gonna be melted. No, they weren't. Now, each M&M candy was really shiny. The dye melted or came off in my hand, but each M&M candy was still intact. So that gives you an idea of discovering what it is that's true or what it is that your customer can experience every single time. So M&Ms, they did that well. Here's some more. Against the grain closeness comfortably. Gillette Fusion Pro Glide Razor. Now, for anyone that shaves, specifically men, understanding that shaving against the grain gives you a nice, close shave. But it also does it comfortably. So this is the promise that you'll receive the performance every single time you use the Gillette Fusion Pro Glide Razor. Another one, the Quicker Picker Upper, Bounty Paper Towel. Bounty saying, look, this is what we do well. Other paper towels may clean up spills, but we do it quicker. Another brand promise example, Healthy Beautiful Smiles for Life Crest Toothpaste. Well, who doesn't want a healthy, beautiful smile and for life? Another one, Play, Laugh, Grow, Fisher-Price Toys. And the last brand promise I'm going to share with you, Finger Lickin' Good, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Okay, now, so the first step was, how do I start branding? Is create that brand promise. Like I said, be advised, it's going to take some time. There is no magic silver bullet. You're going to actually have to put the work in. But when you do, you'll be satisfied in knowing that you have a brand promise statement that will describe what your customers will get from you time and time again. Now, the second thing you need to do to start branding is to develop that brand identifier or logo. Now, you're going to need something unique that represents your product, your service, your business. Now, it can be your name, but it should be done in a unique way. You don't simply want to use Times New Roman because everybody has it, and your brand identifier will not stand out. Your brand identifier, it needs to stand out not just among competitors, but on any information that you might provide, whether it be a flyer, whether it be a sign, whether it be a ticket. That logo, that brand identifier needs to stand out and not blend in with all of the text or information. So if you use just Times New Roman, it should stand out amongst everything else that's on the page or in a retail environment. Think of that brand identifier like a fingerprint. It's one of a kind. There are no two alike. So in developing your brand identifier, make sure that it will show or tell the uniqueness of your brand, your product, service. What you don't want to do as well is have that brand identifier look too similar to some of your competitors. Now, this is an easy pitfall because you see what works, specifically if you're looking at some national brands, brands that have been around for a while and brands that can be purchased across the nation. It's so easy to say, hey, they did it well. Maybe I'll try something similar to theirs. Stop. Don't. Once again, think of that brand identifier like a fingerprint. It's one of a kind. There are no two alike. And the third and final thing that I recommend you do to start branding is brand through social media. Now, for those of you that embrace social media, you are probably very excited that I just said that. For others who do not maybe use social media as they should or don't understand their value, this is something you'll need to work on. Now, myself, I have embraced social media for branding and marketing purposes. Now, I'm a relatively private person, and so I didn't understand social media or the value on a personal level, but I do on a business level. So embrace your social media. I use just about every social media outlet. There's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest. I use them all. Now, to get started with that, locate photos that represent your product or service or the result of using your product or service, or take them yourself. So you can either find photos that already exist that you feel tells people visually the results of your product or your product or service, or then you can take them yourself. If you're a great photographer or know a photographer, ask them to do that for you. Now, post them. Post these images that you found or that you've had taken with a message like new product or update or new and improved or a sale. Or simply post these images and educate them on your product or service, why you need it, or maybe even how it should be used properly. Another way that you can start branding through social media is just post that great brand identifier, that fingerprint for your business, and your contact information. So that's just a way of getting started. Remember earlier in the podcast, I said you had to be seen to be considered. Well, social media branding is free. You can be seen, and therefore you can be considered. Do not, I repeat, do not mix personal social media post with your business social media post. Remember how you have to have that C, that consistency. What your branding does may be a little different from what you do personally, so do not mix the two. Remember, filter every communication through your brand promise. Now, once you've developed these three steps on how do I start branding, create that brand promise statement, develop a brand identifier, and brand through social media. Now, once you complete these three steps, you will be well on your way to branding a successful product. I hope you got something out of this. If you have questions regarding the information on this podcast or how I can help you with your branding, feel free to email me at Vicki, V-I-C-K-I-E, at thedesign.com. the1.com, or visit my website, www.thedesigndoc1.com. Thank you so much for listening to What is Branding? Why do I need it? How can I help my business? Happy branding!